it's a saying to God, you know, I believe you when you say children are a blessing from you, you know, okay, I'm going to trust you in this.
Family man.
Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Scott, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas here in northern Indiana. I'm going to guess you don't have any snow on the ground right now.
Actually, we do.
Do you really? Wow. Wow. Did you just, how much do you have?
Probably a couple inches. It covered the
really?
Grass.
Really? Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. I mean, up here, we have probably 5 inches. And I mean, it looks like, you know, the should be January.
Yeah,
I'm hoping the temperature rises a little bit so we can be done with it.
Yeah.
But we had our first snow last night. And, you know, the tradition is to go to Long John Silver's. We did not go to Long John Silver's. You know, sometimes.
Ooh.
I know it. Sometimes we dads have to flex a little bit. I am like the least flexible of all the tradition dads. But I know that when sometimes you just have to change your traditions, which is a good thing. It is the mark of a healthy dad because I know some dads, including me, who like ruin the whole tradition because we're going to do it anyway. That's what we always do.
Well, by that definition, I'm a great dad.
I've been flexing
for years.
So we brought in breadsticks from Mancino's, which is a family kind of favorite place. And we had a good time, and it was a good time was had by all. But it was not Long John Silver's, which just goes to prove you can have a good time and not have to do your tradition. And sometimes our traditions weigh heavily on our wives, because, again, I'm the guy who comes up with all these good traditions. And my wife's like, oh, not another one, because she says it just means more work for me. And that's can be true. I try not to let it be, but she's more responsible than I am. So she feels all the weight of it. So I'm heading up today to Jamestown, Michigan. I don't think I've ever been there north of Holland for a little speaking event. And again, dads, if you live in an area that, you know, not too far from Indiana, a couple hundred miles, northern Indiana, Milford, Indiana, I'd love to come and speak to your group. It's super simple. All you have to do is cover a little mileage and take a love offering, and that's it. Boom, bada bing. It doesn't get any easier than that. In fact, I can make it all the way down to Cincinnati. Pretty easy.
You never come here.
If somebody invites me, I will come. People will come, Ray. People will come. By the way, before we pick up our special guest, I speaking of James Earl Jones, that was the voice, by the way. I saw The Lion King just the other night for the first time, the new one. I wasn't impressed. It was beautiful. I was impressed by the graphics and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's kind of like you know what's going to happen. You know what the next line is. And they were like, boom, almost line for line. It was fun, but yeah. You know, it would have been like a thriller or something should have changed. Like Simba went on a rampage or something. I don't know. But anyway, hey, we have a special guest with us today. Pat Jarrett, speaking all the way from Colorado. I've known Pat for a long time. Now, we haven't like been best friends, but our paths have been crossing for at least maybe 25, maybe even longer years. So, Pat, it is good to have you with us.
Thank you. It's good to be with you guys.
Well, why don't you just give us a little background. Tell us about yourself, your kids, and any other important information you think we ought to know.
Sounds good. Well, yeah, speaking of paths crossing, my wife and I both went to high school with Todd's wife way back in the day. And that was 30-some years ago. Won't quite approach the 35 plus for us, but it's awfully close on it. So my wife and I ended up meeting each other in the second grade, although neither exactly remembers that moment at an elementary school in Carmel, Indiana. And our paths crossed again when our family started attending the same church they did. And we connected as friends at Heritage Christian School in Indianapolis. And after a whirlwind romance in eighth grade, oh, wait, no, that was my junior high desire, but no, that didn't happen. we started seeing each other after a long friendship as maybe something more towards the end of high school, and ended up dating for 5 years, going to different universities, and finally getting married immediately following graduation. At least for me, it was a great incentive to get done with college sooner, being at different campuses, different schools, knowing that we had to graduate before we could get married. And so we have now been married almost 29 years. Next month will be 29 years. And in the midst of that, somehow we picked up 13 kids along the way. We had 5 girls and 8 boys. The girls are on the older end of the bunch. In fact, as of now, we only have 1 daughter left at home. We have 7 left at home. So our oldest daughter still at home is 17, junior in high school. And our youngest son is 5 years old and kindergarten. The overall range, 26 years. Oldest one is married with 4 kids of her own. And then they range all the way down to 5. So we've had a full life somehow through the last 29 years.
That is full. That is full. And that's why we're having you on the show. I don't think we've ever done a show, Scott. Maybe you can correct me on having a bunch of kids. And because, you know, kids are on the heart of God. And I know there's a lot of pressure on dads and moms and people, maybe because the world doesn't put as much priority on children. I just want to encourage us in family. How did this, I know the journey of having a bunch of kids starts with one, you know, one at a time. Sometimes you can have 2. But did you always want a bunch of kids? I know you came from a big family, but because I know that your family was always like, I'm talking about the family that you were born into. Debbie's family would always talk about the Jarretts. How many children were in your family? Maybe how many were in your wife's family? And then, you know, did you always want a bunch of kids?
Yeah, that's been obviously a lifelong journey. As you said, you don't start with a bunch generally. I mean, there are ways to do that, but we sure earned ours one at a time. So when I introduce myself, and invariably the subject of kids comes up, it worked. Functions, you know, what do you do? How many kids? How do you have kids? And I've thought of responses at the time. I've got fairly dry humor, and so I've got lots of good one-liners that, this depending on the audience, the shock factor pull out. But it's fun often just to simply say 13 and wait for it,
because there's always a thing after that. Right?
A 13-year-old, oh, is he in 7th grade, boy or girl? No, we have 13, and then to go from there. There's always a conversation that ensues in that. So there's an opportunity to give glory to God in the midst of that story. But to answer your specific question, my wife was 1 of 2, oldest of 2, and I'm the oldest of 10. But even in that number, it's a little misleading. I grew up most of my life with really 4 of us, typical mid-sized family, you would say. And then when I was a young, almost teenager, my dad got really, really, really sick and was sick and in bed. And, you know, you don't pay much of attention to it. I think, man, dad never gets sick. Why is he sick? But he was laid up for a week and a half, 2 weeks, to my recollection. And in the midst of that, was declared completely sterile. Medically should not have been able to produce children at that point. And here we are, a family of 4. And lo and behold, after that, 6 girls were added to our family, all through God's providence and natural processes and no intervention of any kind. My parents had 2 sets of twin girls, both identical, which the odds of that are staggering. I didn't bother to look it up again, but having back-to-back sets of identical twins is off the charts, as they say. So we did have a big family, but I came by most of those later in my teen years. In fact, my youngest sister was born when I was a freshman at college. So had a little bit different dynamic to the family in terms of I felt like a much older cousin or maybe an uncle in the early years of our marriage. A cool thing was, even though my wife was one of two, since we had dated so long and known each other so long, we were dating before my youngest siblings were even born, which really set up a lot of pressure on me to actually follow through and ask her to marry me, because I probably would have been disowned and they would have kept her had I not asked the question. She agreed. So that worked out really, really well for both of us.
Well, I know people will, when Debbie and I were married, you know, and people are even asking my kids who are married, you know, like, how many kids do you want? And I'm thinking, I never even thought about it. I never thought about, like, if you would have said, well, do you have kids? I'd say, well, yeah, I guess, you know, I mean, I guess I never thought about it. Did you and your wife come into it thinking, oh, we want to have a large family too? Did you and your wife always see eye to eye on the number of kids you'd like to have?
Yeah, great question. Because we were friends for so long and she knew my family, you know, sometimes you meet your spouse later in life, maybe worked together, you met at school, not knowing the family backgrounds. We went to the same high school, went to the same church. So she knew my family pretty well from reasonable proximity. And so, yeah, conversations came up in the midst of our dating years. And then certainly when things turned to our engagement, we were engaged about 13 months. So we had time to talk about some of these things. Mm-hmm. And she was intrigued by our family, really respected my mom and just her love, not only for her kids, but love for others. And my mom had a mentality that there was always room for one more, whether that meant one more in the family or one more guest at the dinner table. It was just a practice of our family, really set up by the influence of my mom, that hospitality was huge. And that was really intriguing to my wife, Lisa, coming from a small family, and her parents were incredibly hospitable too, but just a different dynamic, you know, a family of four versus a family of 12. Mm-hmm. So there's always stuff going on in our house. And so we did have time to talk about that. And I'd say we thought maybe five or six kids. In those times, you know, we could see that happening, at least four, maybe five, maybe six. But it's one of those things you grow into, I would say. You know, you don't start off with 13 kids. You don't start off with six kids. You start off with one. Mm-hmm. And really the defining process for us, aside from seeing the lifestyle and testimony of not only my family, but a couple other large families that we knew of, was we spent a considerable time during that year of engagement just really searching through scriptures on what God had to say about kids. Mm-hmm. We talked to godly friends. She talked to faculty at Taylor University where she went, where she that she really trusted and admired in terms of their teaching and biblical training. And we got all kinds of responses and answers when we talked and asked to people. But in the end, as we searched scriptures and just the, what does God say about kids, we found over and over that kids are pretty important to him. Kids are really considered a blessing, not only a physical blessing, but a blessing. And at the end, he is the author of life. And so after a long period of wrestling with that, we came down to the conviction that if we truly believe that he is the author of life and we truly believe he's sovereign, then we can trust him with everything. And that means everything. And we had no idea that our quiver was going to be a Costco size quiver when we made that early decision, but we were convinced and convicted that God could be trusted. And I can tell you after 29 years of marriage and 13 kids, it has not been an easy journey and just, hey, this is so fun and a party every day and not any work at all. But I can tell you that he has provided for us every step of the way, financially, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and doesn't mean it doesn't have its pitfalls and hiccups and challenges, but he has been faithful, and here we are pressing on about halfway through the journey of having the kids physically at home. So it's still an unfolding story for us, for sure.
Well, see, you're way more spiritual than I was. I mean, I was the guy like, oh yeah, I guess we should have one now. You know, but yeah,
we never talked about a number again after that, in terms of, well, yeah, here's the cap, or yeah, we're approaching six. Should we rethink? Now I will tell you that every time a new one was coming along, my wife cried. We were never ready for that next child. And I'm glad that gestation process is about 9 months, because it took us at least 6.5 to get used to the idea each time.
That's so amazing. I mean, because, you know, our kind of little journey was, you know, we thought four was a good number. And by about fourth, I was like, hey, that was kind of fun. How about we do another? And my wife at one point said, you know, we keep talking about how many kids we want to have. You know, we've never really said, how many kids would God want us to have? And it was just like, it just blew me out of the water. I'm like, that is so true. Everybody sits around and says, how many kids do you want to have? How many kids do you want? But nobody says, you know, again, how many kids? And we kind of came to that point that you came to only way earlier than us, you know, that we just said, you know, God can be trusted. Why would we want any less than he would give us? You know, I mean, it's like $100 bills. We would say, keep giving them to us, you know, don't stop.
Right.
And if for us, it got a little harder on the other end when he did stop, you know, that was kind of a shocker to us. But how about other people? Were other people, I know your family was probably very supportive, but was everyone supportive? Because I know, you know, when you have a few, like when you have four or five, you know, it's kind of a cute number. You know, they're like, oh, they're a big family. But then you kind of get to that bizarre number, you know, whatever number that is, you know, and they're like, surely they're done. Were the people around you supportive?
Closest people, yes. Certainly my parents were, my mom, who 10 years ago now went to be with the Lord after a battle with breast cancer, was a huge encouragement to Lisa in those early years, just as someone who had walked through that before, just always so excited for us. Our kids were very supportive of it. They would be the ones who would lead the cheers when we announced the next one was coming, which was affirming. You know, they weren't going to have to share the load quite as much, but they were going to have to share us. And so that's been amazing throughout. And even to this day, the kids are like, you need to have at least one more, Mom. We need a little girl. Keep the numbers out or whatever. So at this point, it looks like we're collecting grandkids and in-laws, but
I don't know. I heard a lady on the news recently. She was 77 and gave birth.
That's amazing. God bless her.
That's right. She looked half dead, holding this child.
But aside from immediate family, we didn't get any of the crazy, like, radical pushback in the confrontation in the grocery aisle when Lisa's taking the stair step kids down through the aisle and, you know, doing errands together, anything like that. But you definitely got the comments. Don't you know what causes that? And here, let me get you a cable subscription, or those type of comments. But those kind of stop. I don't know if they were in your experience, but for us, they stopped at six. At that point, they figure you're a lost cause, and
that's right.
There's no way there's anything they can say that's going to change your mind. So
that's right.
Four and five, you start to feel that pressure a little bit, or the as you get a little big. And after six, it's
You know, because there's some dads that are listening. You know, maybe they have they're new in the dad department. You know, they've got a couple kids, and they even Ben, you know, my oldest, and they have two now. And he's like, Dad, how'd you guys have eight? You know, it was just like, almost like, how could we survive the third one, you know? And thankfully, you know, God only does like one, maybe two at a time. But what's the best part of having a big family for the Jarrett family, or for you as the dad?
Yeah. For me, personally, how I benefit is showing how stinking selfish I am is radiated in each one of those little lives. When you have to discipline yourself. You have to self-sacrifice. I mean, I suppose I wouldn't have to. I could just, you know, have kids and say, hey, this is your department. Go take care of them, sweetie. And, you know, I'm going to go out, hang out with the guys. And I got a big golf match this weekend. And I was really thinking of taking up a hobby like cross-country motorcycle, riding across the U.S. I'll be back in a month. I guess you could do that, but yeah, you wouldn't stay very married very long. Mm-hmm. So for me, personal sanctification has certainly been, I must have had a lot of rough edges that God needed to hack off and use the chainsaw and the jackhammer and everything else, because kids really do refine you. They bring out and show you and reflect to you where you think you're doing pretty good until confronted by your kids on something, whether it's in their lives and recognizing, oh man, that looks not what I would have passed on, or just being confronted with, I'm going to have to lay down my desires for today and help serve or lead. Aside from that, just having a big family can be a huge amount of fun. Holidays are an absolute blast. When our family gets together, in fact, we're doing a road trip out here from Colorado Springs to meet up with a family that's based in Indiana and South Carolina, and we're all meeting in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, pitching in all the resources together and renting one house. So for 1 week, there'll be 59 of us under one roof, and our family has a reputation, and people tell us all the time, man, you guys, it's amazing. You really love each other and like to spend time with your extended family and your siblings and everything. My family doesn't have that. So I'm hoping by day three, we can remember that we really,
that's right.
This is a great idea, because we're going to have about 39 kids under the age of 25, all gathered in this along with the siblings and so on. So holidays and gatherings are a blast.
So wait, what house are you renting out? The Biltmore?
That's just down the street. No, they there's this new wave of vacation rentals for corporate retreats and extended family reunions. And so I was searching like HomeAway and Airbnb and stuff, there's this whole industry that's sprung up for these kind of extended family reunions, knowing that, you know, nobody's one house is big enough for all these people. So they're designed just as big people cabins.
Wow.
And hopefully with the Smoky Mountains right out the back door, we'll get our introverted downtime out in the trails and come back and just collapse at the house.
Mm. Well, you know, I mean, I would think people would say, you know, it'd be obvious when you have a bunch of kids, you know, some of the challenges. But maybe, were there any challenges that have surprised you, or maybe that might even seem harder than just logistics? I mean, because, you know, it's hard to squeeze everybody in one car. Now you have to have two cars or three cars. But what are some of the hard parts?
The hardest thing for me, particularly as it related to the father-kid dynamic, is just being able to spend one-on-one time in a meaningful way. You know, we talk about wanting to have quality time with the kids. A lot of times they just want quantity time, and they're cool with having group time with mom and dad, but we can tell often that they just crave one-on-one time. In fact, I think it was last year, our now 9-year-old, for his 8-year-old birthday, he just wanted time with mom and dad. And so we did a little very short overnight bed and breakfast getaway, and his face was lit up with a smile from the minute we got in the car to leave to the minute we got back. You know, we had dinner at the bed and breakfast and watched a old cheesy movie together. I think it was Herbie Rides Again or The Love Bug.
It's a good one.
Classics with Dean Jones. And
that's right.
He hadn't seen it before. And so, I mean, what doesn't say I love you like watching Buddy Hackett together?
So. Oh man, you're a good movie guy. We'll have to have you on for another show. We could do just the Dean Jones movies.
There you go. And we went on a hike the next day. He got to go on his first horseback ride. So stuff that we just don't do together as a family, because, you know, outings are expensive. We don't order drinks when we go out. So we got to find ways to spend creative time for one-on-one. And that's probably the biggest challenge for me as a dad, is feeling like I've got enough of me to spread around, that my wife has enough to spread around. So we've just had to get creative over the years. If one of us is going on an errand, we'll grab one or two. I remember my mom telling us when we'd ask, how do you do this? How do you, because it never seemed to us like you didn't have time for us. And her answer was she would pray each morning, Lord, show me who needs me most today. And she would invest in that person. And so we've tried to incorporate that into to our lives as well. And it's amazing to me. I think it's often more in our heads as moms and dads regarding that than it is in the minds of our kids. I mean, there are times that they think, yeah, man, I wish I was one of two, then I could do travel soccer or travel baseball or do these things that just logistically we can't do. But in the end, when we ask them as now young adults, those who have left the nest, what do you remember? And that as they unsolicitedly give us feedback, often it's, you just never seem too busy for me. If I was having a problem or having a concern, you never seem too busy, which is crazy because from our end, it's like, that's the thing that threats up the most is right. thinking, we're not getting all this individual attention to the kids and things. But, you know, practically speaking, we'll just grab one of them. If I'm going to Home Depot, do you want to come with me? And I'll tap one on the shoulder and come. And if he rejects me, which would be rare, grab another one. Or if I'm going on a mountain bike ride near us here, I'll grab one or two of them, or at least offer. And if they don't, then I get an hour of alone time. But if they do, then I modify the route and we go have fun on the trails that I know they like and that kind of thing. So we try to mix it up. We don't take the whole family everywhere. And as the kids get older, that's easier. Say for the young dads or moms out there, if you have four kids under the age of 6 or 7, you feel like this is all there is. It's diapers, it's cleanup, it's making dinner, it's just picking up toys. But it changes. The dynamic does change. They grow up, start them early on helping with chores, and everybody plays a part. And before you know it, all of a sudden you get a 12-year-old, hopefully with some reasonable level of responsibility, and you can actually do a date night. Potentially, maybe when they're 13, 14, without paying a babysitter and starting to reclaim some of that time that you think, I am just never going to have a date with my spouse again, or we're never going to get to do stuff. So that changes as the dynamic gets older.
And when you say, Pat, I mean, because I know when you're in the 6-year-old, you know, that's your oldest, and you just said 13, you know. You get a date night and the parents are thinking, oh, 13, that's a long time from now, but it really goes fast, doesn't it? I mean, can you believe, like you said, that you're running out of kids?
No, we look around the table, we've got 7 at home, or, you know, sometimes 5 nights if the high schoolers are out doing something. What did you guys call everybody to dinner? Where is everybody? There's only 7 of us here. It feels so empty. The dynamic changes, or even when we had 8 or 9 or 10, just having one out of the house changed the dynamic a lot, which doesn't seem like it would, but it does.
So what would you say to the dad? You know, maybe he's like, oh man, I hate this conversation, you know, and I hope my wife doesn't hear it because, you know, she's thinking she'd like to have more and I just don't know. What do you say to a dad who's maybe, you know, in that position?
Well, the first thing I'm going to ask him is, has he prayed about it, and what's holding him back in that area? Is it fear of, is there enough of me to go around? Will I be able to give the kids the individual attention that they need? Is it fear of finances, which is a big one for dads? Often feel like, hey, we got to provide for these kids that God's given us already, and bills are coming due, and there's just so much to go around, and it can be a real challenge, a real obstacle to think through that. I can tell you just from my experience over the years that it has not always gone according to the journey I thought. You know, during the 2008 to 2010, I was out of my normal industry, which is home building, during the recession when our company and eventually closed its doors that I worked for. And so there were 3 years of very lean times, but we saw God provide every step of the way for every need. And that's a whole nother story, but I can tell you that God does provide. He does provide that time. He does provide that energy day by day, and he does provide for you financially. So I would say, yeah, first pray about it and ask God, what do you want from us? And I'm not going to sit here and say every family needs to have 13 kids or 10 kids or even 4 kids. I think God works sovereignly in the lives of each family. We know couples who have the same outlook we do and have 1 kid or 2 kids. And we know some that have 10 and don't know a lot that have 13 or more, but there are a lot of different shapes and sizes. God makes families in different ways in terms of size and how it plays out. But I would say to the dad that's considering this, the wife is thinking it, talk together, husband and wife, pray about it, and don't give in to fear as your first reaction to it, and don't worry about, will I be able to be enough to invest emotionally and spiritually in each of those kids, physically, all those things. It's a day-by-day surrender in all of our life, and the kids' part of it is no different than the rest of life in that surrender.
Mm. You know, and that is such an important truth, because I've heard dads say, well, I mean, if we just let God decide, then we're just going to have, you know, we're going to have a dozen kids. And that's not true. And like you said, you know, because God doesn't have 13 kids for everybody. He doesn't have 18 kids or 10 kids or 3 kids. You know, he's got a plan for everybody. And just because you get to that point, you go, okay, God, whatever you'd have us do, it doesn't mean you're even going to have any more children.
Absolutely.
But it's a saying to God, you know, I believe you when you say children are a blessing from you, you know, okay, I'm going to trust you in this. And like I said, after we had 8, we would have liked to have had more. And God kind of closed that door. And we had to come to the point, you know, of dealing with God at the end as well. We had to say, okay, God, you could be trusted at the beginning. You could be trusted in the middle. You can be trusted at the end of this too. You know, and that was a surprising thing for us, because we thought, you know, early on, we would have just thought, oh, when you're done, you're done. But
right.
There's a point where you really have to trust God with that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Like you said earlier, our youngest son is now 5, 5 and a half. And so for us, that's a long time. Our kids are averaged about 19 months difference. Down to between number 12 and 13 were 3.5 years. So now here we are at 5.5 years. Wow. I can't say that things are completely done, but it looks like that. But
right.
You just don't know. We've had a couple of early miscarriages since our youngest son, Nolan, was born. And yeah, that's a different wrestling. You know, life is still full. We will never probably experience that true emptiness. We didn't have the gap between youngest child and oldest grandchild, where we just have this overwhelming yearning for grandchildren. And I miss the pitter-patter of little feet, because our youngest was still pitter-pattering when our oldest grandson was born the same calendar year. So
wow.
It's a different dynamic.
That is so cool. That is so cool.
When you start adding the grandkids.
Oh, man, it is. Well, we're out of time.
Yeah.
And we may have to do this again. Talk about, you know, Buddy Hackett and those guys. But thanks for just doing what you do. Thanks for being open to God. Thanks for letting us watch you. And I hope there were some dads who may be encouraged. Hey, Pat, if a dad wanted to contact you,
yes.
This is kind of off the cut. You know, you can say no now. We can cut it out. But how would they get a hold of you?
Let me throw out my email address for them there. They'd be I'd be happy to correspond or answer questions. That would be great. I think of so many mentors in my life and our journey in different areas of life, and I'm constantly challenged to learn from people. So be happy to offer that if people wanted to reach out to me on that. But it's Jarrett.Tribe, Jarrett.Tribe@comcast.net.
Well, that'd be great. And again, thanks for being on the show, Pat, and have a great day out in Colorado.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Our Family Man calendar order is coming today.
Awesome. It says
delivery notice, and I am excited about that because I'll put in a plug for you here. This is a gift I get for many guys around me in my life each year, and it is a highlight for them. So ironically, the calendar entry today, as I looked at it this morning, was order your calendar, and I felt really, really proud and good that my calendars are arriving today.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, have a great day.
Thanks, guys.
Well, hey, Scott, I don't know about you, but again, I'm just always encouraged by dads who, you know, who trust God. And I'm not saying to all you other dads that, you know, that if you don't, you know, do what Pat did, you've somehow fallen short. You know, I mean, we're all in different stages. But I would encourage you, you know, to listen to the heart of your wife, to listen to the heart of God, and maybe reconsider, you know, that maybe God would just have us trust in him with the number of our children. And again, if you maybe have a different story, I'd love to hear about it. You can contact me at familyman@familymanweb.com, or you can get a hold of Scott. He leaves his email at the end of the show. But hey, Dad, I sure appreciate you being on the team. Again, you can get your calendars just like Pat has. We've got them on our website. Maybe you've been talking about for a couple of years to get one of the Christmas games. I had a mom write me yesterday. She goes, "The shipping is so much. I can't believe that." And I'm like, "It is. I'm sorry. I wish it weren't. But it just costs that much for us to send them to you." So would you check that out? Bite the bullet. I think it's an investment worth making. And it sure encourages us as well. So have a great week. If you got some snow, enjoy the snow before it melts. And if you don't have any snow and it's nice and warm where you live, I hate you. So have a great day. Do something with one of your kids. Maybe, like Pat said, maybe run one to when you're going to Home Depot or Lowe's or the post office or wherever you're going. And do it because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, Dad. Have a great week.